Hi, this is Black Glass, and this is my talk back for episode 14 of Oral Phonic. So first, I wanted to talk about what happened in the episode that just went up, which is about interacting with the non-Podvic fandom. So my experience was I didn't even approach the exchange to ask to be included. It was actually a response to the Dragon Girls post that you talked about in the episode, where she talked about being rejected from an exchange. And this person, I won't name names, but this person who is in a fandom and a pairing I'm particularly invested in actually responded to that post saying, "Oh, well, this isn't something I hadn't thought about before. I run a yearly holiday exchange. And I know sometimes, you know, Podvic people can make something new. So I think that might be something that I can include in this year's exchange. Would people be interested in having Podvic?" And I actually responded, you know, I would love to have Podvic included in this exchange, and I would love to participate. But I really felt like I had to address that whole, oh, Podvic people can make something new. I mean, and, you know, some of us can. Some of us are writers in addition to being Podficers, but a lot of us aren't. Like, for me, I need someone who is going to write it for me. So, you know, we had that discussion about, you know, well, Podvic actually is original. It is something new and transformative in that respect. And, you know, not all people can create original new work as you're, you know, thinking of it. And then I actually brought up some exchanges in the past that have successfully included Podvic in their exchanges, including the Marvel POC exchange and also the Clint Coulson Holiday exchange. And I talked a little bit about how they included Podvic in their exchanges and how that worked, you know, by having people like specify what kind of transformative works they'd be interested in receiving and making and matching people based on that. But I also told her, you know, if you want suggestions or, you know, strategies to help incorporate Podvic into the exchange, please feel free to contact me. I'm willing to help you out. I know several people who have modded exchanges before who I could, you know, tap to, for advice on how to, you know, help you do this thing. And I never got a response. And then a couple of weeks later, the announcement post for that exchange went up, and lo and behold, no mention of Podvic at all. So I'm a little salty about that. Because, I mean, in this case, this person specifically sought advice and, you know, feedback on whether Podvic should be included, and, you know, someone actually reached out and said, oh, you know, this is how you could do it, and then they didn't follow up on that, and that's a little upsetting to me. But anyway, so the rest of my talk back is going to be about the next episode, which is about Audacity tips and tricks. And these are just some things that I have incorporated recently, and I really felt like they've made my Podvic better. And, you know, I'm mostly self-taught. Like, I looked at some tutorials before, you know, starting Podvicking. There were a lot of good beginner tutorials for Podvickers. But I think, like a lot of people, I learned more from just poking around Audacity and just trying all the different features and seeing, oh, what does this do? And what does this do? And also, I've gotten a lot of advice from other Podvickers who mentioned, hey, I do this thing, or, oh, I noticed you're having this problem. Maybe have you tried doing this thing? So, you know, this is what I do to make my Podvics. So one of the tips that I actually got from Lavender Frost, is the idea of leaving several seconds of silence at the beginning of your Podvic, because apparently the longer your sample is for the noise removal, the better it works. I have no idea if this is true. I think it works. I felt like it works. So I typically leave about, like, you know, 10 seconds of silence, sometimes more. And another thing that I recently realized that I didn't realize from about the first 2 years of my pot baking career is that you can do noise removal more than once. So I typically run noise removal about 2 times. I generally find that more than that, the audio quality really gets compromised. So that's cut down on background noise a lot, I feel. Something else I do, let me check my list. Labels, oh my gosh. So that's also a tip that I got from someone else. It was someone with a J name. Jettisaur, I think. Jess Baranda. I think it might be Jess Baranda. So in the audio snippers IRC chat, I'm sorry. My heat just kicked on. Whatever. This is just a talk back. But yeah, so in the audio snippers chat, Jess Baranda mentioned, I was mentioning that I was having, you know, issues going back and finding the spots where I messed up and I needed to copy paste some re-records. And she said, you know, you can label the areas in your audio tracks so that you can go back and, you know, do whatever you need to do. And I'm just like, really? That is a thing you can do? And it is totally a thing you can do. So if you click on tracks, one of the options is to add a label. And that has changed my life. It's so good for, like, you know, indicating where things, like, I should add in post-production, like sound effects or, like, voice filters and stuff like that, or areas that I need to re-record. And I don't know, and the only thing about that is, and I don't know if it's just my computer, but I get used to using, like, the keyboard shortcuts, and the keyboard shortcut for adding labels is Control-B. But then when you're typing in what your label is, I notice that when I hit certain letters, it, like, Audacity goes a little wonky and it'll, like, kick me back to the beginning or something. And it's usually when I hit J or K. And I don't know what it is, but trying to type J or K or, like, X when I'm trying to label my label, it makes Audacity cranky. Just a heads up. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. So labels, use them, love them. They'll make your life so much easier. And another thing I do is, I don't know if other people do this, but I found that adding bass boost, to my recording really improves the sound quality. I don't know if it's just because I normally have sort of a quieter, thinner voice, but I find that it adds, like, a sort of, like, fullness and a sort of warmth to the tone and the recording. So, you know, when it's time for me to edit, I run bass boost first. I usually run it level 5, and whatever I think it's, like, the first fill-in option is, like, what is it, like, dB 200 or something like that. That's, like, the default, and I just leave it there. And I change that second option to 5, and then I run noise removal. And I find that improves the quality of my recording. It might not work for your voice, but just putting that out there. But yeah, that's most of my tips and tricks for now. I hope that was helpful, and thanks for listening! And of course, now is when my heat decides to shut off, just when I'm finishing. Thanks so much. But yeah, thanks for listening.